dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. We have a great guest tonight. We have Dr. Bernie Siegel with us, and we're going to get to him right after our meditation. So let's get right into it. During this meditation, for those of you who are new, we're going to imagine using something that is small but powerful to you, maybe something given to you in a dream by your guardian angel or spirit guide, or a deceased loved one. It can be an amulet, a piece of jewelry. So if you don't have one, you can imagine just holding your favorite flower or crystal in your hand, anything that holds the power of love for you. Okay, this is going to be a power gift we're going to use in this meditation. Now sit comfortably together, and we're going to take three really deep breaths in and hold them, while anything that is not of our highest and best is captured in that breath of life. And then we're going to blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where it will be converted into positive light and returned to the universe. Then we're going to build a protection bubble with our power gift. So if you're driving during this meditation, please don't close your eyes. Just listen, okay? Ready? Close your eyes. Feel yourself relaxing. Feel yourself being pulled down and centered. Now take a deep breath. Very deep in. Hold it. Now blow it across the room. Into that purple flame of Saint Germain. Again, deep breath in. Imagine any tiny specks of negativity sucked into that breath. Now blow it out into the flame. One more time. Deep breath in. A really, really deep breath in. Hold it. Hold it. Blow it out across the room. Right into that purple flame of Saint Germain, where you see it turned into this positive light and returned to the universe. There will be no littering. Now, imagine your power gift in your hand. Imagine swinging it around your head and your body to create this beautiful mirrored bubble full of all the colors that you see in the rainbow in that bubble. And it's protection around you that not only lets that which is of the highest and best come in, brought by your spirit guides and guardian angels, but also that which is of the highest and best for your health. Anything that else that is not of our highest and best is reflected through the mirror back to whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. So our dream today is going to actually be from the book Our Guest Today and I wrote together. Dr. Bernie Siegel wrote the foreword and a children's chapter, and anything else his agent would let him put into the book. So we're going to talk about this dream that actually got me on the Dr. Oz show. It's called The Franciscan Monks. While enjoying my dream, it suddenly stops like a frozen computer screen or a TV show put on pause. In the center of my dream, a pop-up window appears, much like a computer. The window expands into a door, and a spirit guide, guardian angel, dressed as a Franciscan monk in long brown hooded robe with a knotted rope belt and leather sandals steps through the sacred dream door. His hood covers his face. Come with me. We have something to tell you. I am dreaming in my dream, and I wonder what's going to happen, but obediently follow him into a room I call the Room Between Realms, a place that is neither of the living nor the dead. It is a parallel universe of consciousness, and waiting for me are two other monk guides. One monk takes my hand, places it on my right breast, and says, "You have cancer right here. Feel it?" I did. "Go back to your doctor tomorrow without an appointment." I start to cry and tell him that the doctor won't listen to me tomorrow any more than he did yesterday. They just keep giving me the same tests over and over, I tell him. They keep telling me I'm healthy. If you want me to live, you help me. My monk reaches into his enormous sleeve, pulls something out, and hands me a tiny white feather, no larger than one that escapes from a pillow fight at night and glides to the bedroom floor. Use this feather as a sword to fence within your verbal battles with the doctor, and you will win against scientific facts. You need exploratory surgery. If you present your case to the doctors as though you were an attorney standing before an incredulous judge who dislikes you, you will win, he says, then turns and walks out of my dream. The sacred dream door closes behind him, and my previous dream starts right back up where it stopped, as if someone had taken it off pause. Exactly 2 weeks later, my doctor performs the exploratory surgery. Stage 2 breast cancer is found also in my lymph node. The pathology report validates the dream. Our guest with us tonight is Dr. Bernie Siegel, and he was born in October 14th. I'm not going to give you the year for it. So those of you who are numerologists, you can take October 14th and put it together to learn a bit more about him. He's an American writer and a retired pediatric surgeon who writes on the relationship between the patient and the healing process. He is best known for his best-selling book, Love, Medicine, and Miracles. He was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, and received a BA from Colgate University and his MD from Cornell University Medical College. And he is also a radio show host on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and that's Dream Visions with an S, 7 Radio Network, which is the network you're listening to right now. Welcome to the show, Bernie.
Hello.
So good to have you here.
Well, thank you. I keep saying no coincidences. Let me just tell you something, because you were talking about the light and the flame. There's a doctor, Lisa Rankin, and she has written a book called The Daily Flame. And I was just thinking, as you're talking, you know, how this is a universal thing, really, when people clear their minds, in a sense, and then the messages come through. I mean, she has it with 365 love letters from your inner pilot light. I have my book, 365 Prescriptions for the Soul. You know, I think that when we, I don't know how to describe it, get into that place, this comes from out of all of us, because we're all aware of the truth, though our intellect blocks it off. And, you know, God can speak in dreams and images. Your unconscious can. I've had dreams telling me I didn't have cancer when I had certain symptoms. And I knew I didn't from the dream, because other people with cancer, I was in one of our support groups and we were introducing ourselves, and they all said to me, "Yeah, but you don't have cancer." And so I woke up knowing, and the tests, you know, revealed that, no, it wasn't. It was an infection that I was dealing with. But it's just amazing. One of my books is called, it's not my book, but a collection of stories that I put together called The Book of Miracles. And this one woman wrote in with her story. She said she went to bed one night, and in her dream, a dark-skinned woman doctor told her she has a lump in her right breast and she needs to have it checked. And the woman had an accent, too. So she gets up, she goes to the hospital because she felt the lump, and they diagnose her with breast cancer. And then the nurses said, the doctor who will be guiding and, you know, your physician and guiding your treatment will be coming in a couple of minutes. Into the room a few minutes later comes a woman from India with darker skin and an accent, and it's the woman from her dream who is now her physician.
That's amazing. And so it just goes to show, you know, dreams are not just random, weird firings in our brain when we go to sleep.
Yep.
There's something deeper there. How can you explain this?
I think they're answering our questions. I know.
Who's they? Who's they to you?
Oh.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, it's the universal consciousness, whether you call it God or whatever. But it's, you know, it's just there. When I say they, it's creation. You know, all the things that go into creation. I always say God is loving, intelligent, conscious energy. So with those resources, the communication can be sent to us and our questions answered. But we have to have a clear mind. See, I'd say that's, I've learned, is the biggest hurdle to all of this. I learned from an animal intuitive, Amelia Kincaid, how to talk to animals. When she told me she talked to animals, I thought, lady, you know.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, true. We can.
But then she was able to tell me. See, this is the part. There's no limit to it. She was in Africa and California. I'm in Connecticut. And I sent her a message saying, you know, a pet has disappeared. And she told me where they were. And I never forget her line. I know the cat's alive. I can see through its eyes. And she described everything. And I put that in the foreword for one of her books because I said, you cannot deny what this woman is doing. And she would always say to me, which is the key, Bernie, stop yelling, quiet your mind, you'll get into the animal's mind. But while you're standing there screaming its name and frantic, it doesn't work. And that's the part, you know, I thought back to the ugly duckling, a tiger who dies giving birth, and then the goats the tiger was chasing raises the tiger so it thinks it's a goat. And how does it learn it's a tiger? When another tiger comes and says, hey, stupid, come with me, you're not a goat. And he takes him to a still pond. How does the ugly duckling learn, I'm a swan on a still pond? But you see, the duckling isn't like most people, cursing his mother and throwing him out of the house, that rotten woman. And the little tiger isn't saying, oh, my mother died, and I'll never have a good life. You know, they're all living, they have a quiet mind, and they realize their truth and who they really are. And that's the part that just has amazed me, the things I've been able to do and learn and communicate with when I say, Bernie, you know, I hear Amelia saying to me, Bernie, quiet your mind. And then that's amazing things.
It does. Happen. Amazing things happen. I know that when I have Siamese cats, and I don't know if you know anything about Siamese, but boy, they can be a handful. And they go out and they play in the yard, and they like to hide under the bushes. They'll take a nap under the bush. And when I go to get them to come into the house to feed them, I call them with my mind. And my husband will say, well, I thought you were going to call the cats. And I'll tell him, I just did. They should be here in a minute. He'll go, but I didn't hear you call them. I said, I called them with my mind, and sure enough, they'll come screaming in through the door, because when I call them with my mind, I also use the mental image of the can opener. So they know I'm calling them for food. They come for screaming food into the house.
No, I mean, our home, one of my books is Love Animals and Miracles. Our home has been a zoo with five kids and every species and pets that people, you know, got exotic pets and then didn't want them. And the veterinarians would call me and say, will you take this? And I always say yes. So our house literally was a zoo. But, you know, again, the communication, because some of them, now I have a bigger fence around an area of the house, but, you know, the cats would climb over, jump out, run away, and at night I would just send out the message. It's getting dark. It's dangerous.
The street lights are on.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather come and sleep in our bed than outside? And it's amazing. They'd show up, you know, sitting outside the kitchen door or the slider in the living room. Okay, we're here. Let us in. It just is incredible. And I've had neighbors, you know, come over and say, oh, our dog is missing for 4 days. I hear you tell stories about, I said, this is what you need to do. You know, quiet your mind. And I got a call. 20 minutes later, their dog showed up at their door when they sent it the message, you know, that they're worried about it. Yeah.
And it's amazing when you do that. And I hadn't even thought of this story until you brought this up, Bernie. This was years and years ago. One of the cats didn't call when I called him with my mind. And so I kept calling him and calling him and calling him. And this little old dog shows up on our doorstep. We live out in the desert in the winter out in the Palm Springs area. And unfortunately, some people, when their dogs get old, will simply dump them out in the desert, hoping, well, the coyotes will eat them, whatever, because it's just too painful and too expensive for us to have them euthanized or whatever. I can't imagine turning away a family member. But this dog showed up on our doorstep along with our cat, and we took care of it for a while, and then we took it to a no-kill shelter because we were getting ready to go back to the other coast, and a family came and adopted it. But sometimes when you send that mental message, when you call them with your still mind, everything that is in crisis will come to you to be helped. So don't be surprised if that happens, but you're supposed to do that.
The other thing that happened to me, and I was reading something which said some people have this happen, but I think it's the person and their quiet mind. I hear voices talking to me, and I mean that literally. And related to animals, I wrote a little book called Buddy's Candle to help people deal with the loss of a loved one. In other words, your tears put out their candle up in heaven, to make a long story short. So I finished the book. I go out of the house walking our other dog, and I hear a voice say, go to the animal shelter. So I go right down to the shelter, because when I hear the voice, I follow whatever it tells me to do. It could be a parking spot. I mean, it's anything, but I always find something then. So I go down to the animal shelter. I walk in. There's a dog sitting by the door, and before I said anything or hello to anybody, what popped out of my mouth was, what's his name? And they said, his name is Buddy. He's been here less than 15 minutes. And I said, I'm here to take him home. Because I know, I wrote the book, he's there, I got the message. And he's not the only one I have, you know, gotten in my head to go to the animal shelter. Because in
My name is Brady.
Let me just say. So I went down another day, and dog was there. What's his name? Brady. I'll take him home. And they're always there that morning. You know what I mean? It isn't that they've been there 2 weeks, and then I get a message. They're always there that morning. Yeah.
You get that message right when they've been brought in. So on that same note, though, do you ever get messages like you know, the story at the beginning or the dream at the beginning of this show where the monks came in and basically told me I had breast cancer. Do you ever have these guardians come in to you and tell you what's wrong with an animal?
If you ask, I mean, when you say the guardians, I really talk to the animal. So, you know, whoever it is you could say is talking, it's, I think, the consciousness of the creature. So they tell me why it is, you know, they feel this way, they're behaving that way, and I get the message, and no. I mean, even, you know, more often it's about their behavior. One dog, oh, this Buddy was the one. When I picked him up, I stopped for gas on the way home. He jumped out of the car and ran down the street. It was, you know, crazy. Everybody had to stop their cars. I'm in the street yelling, he doesn't know me, you got to help me. And I pick him up, put him in the car. When I got home, I said in my mind, why did you behave that way? And he said,
what did he say?
He said, I belong to a couple. The wife was lovely. The husband's an alcoholic. Every time he came home, the wife would say, take the dog for a walk. He would go drinking, leave me in the car, and then abuse me. I don't ever want to be locked in a car. I told him, I love him, and I'll take care of you. Within 2 weeks, I accidentally left the car open. The door, you know, the automatic door, I pushed the button, obviously, when I put it in my pocket. He was sitting in an open car waiting for me to come back. That shows you what the love can do.
Yeah, love. Love is something you can take with you and bring back. So don't go anywhere. We've got to take a quick break, and we'll be talking about this more soon.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Join us in May and we'll waive the daily fees. Located in Rhinebeck, in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. That's 877-944-2002.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
What happens when we begin to realize that the 200-year experiment we've called the American healthcare system has failed? Learn how spirituality, ancient traditions, and cutting-edge science are merging to create a new paradigm of wellness on Awakened Wellness with Mylène Riobé, MD. Tune in every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time with live shows on the first and third mornings when you can call in and ask Dr. Mylène the questions that matter most to you. Dr. Mylène is the medical director of the Riobé Institute of Integrative Medicine in Jupiter, Florida. For more information, visit riobeintegrativemedicine.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you in for this dynamic, forward-thinking show.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on Dream Visions. SevenRadio.com. I'm your host, Kat Canavas, co-author of the number one bestseller and Nautilus Award winner in science and cosmology, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, co-authored with Dr. Larry Burke, radiologist at Duke University Medical. And the foreword is written by our guest tonight, Dr. Bernie Siegel. The book is published and distributed by Inner Tradition, Simon & Schuster, and is now available on Audible. And it's in bookstores everywhere and has been translated into Italian. So if you have a family member who does not read English but reads Italian, hey, go in there and get the book for them. You can get it from my website, which is KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com, or just type in thequeenofdreams.com. And please leave us a review on Amazon. So just before the break, Bernie and I were talking about how we have loved ones from the other side or voices in our mind, which is actually going to be in the next book that Dr. Larry Burke and I are writing together. We're going to have a whole section on voices because they are so important. So Bernie, let's talk about something else, love. How love never dies. And love is something we can take with us and can bring back, and love can bring back our deceased loved ones.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't remember who said it, but love is immortal and make... Oh, I know. One of my favorite authors, William Saroyan. It's the book, The Human Comedy. I recommend it to everybody. It's about life, and it takes place in World War II time, you know, mm-hmm. when somebody in the family dies in the war and so forth. And he an adult and a young man are walking down the street, and he says to him, because his brother died as a soldier, he said, the best part of a good man stays forever. You'll see him in the streets and the houses and all the things that are here out of love and for love. For love is immortal and makes all things immortal, while hate dies every minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm told that in later copies of that, they took out the hate line. But love is immortal and makes all things immortal. And that's mm-hmm. true. I mean, I've even, this is a lady who was in coma for a couple of years, being tube-fed. The family wanted to stop, you know, and let her go. And one mm-hmm. of their kids, of her kids, was a doctor. You know, this is an intelligent family. They know what's going on. But the lawyer said, oh, you're murdering her. So hospice won't accept her, and you can't do that. I said, I'll pull her tube out. Then you'll show up without a tube. But the lawyer learned what we were doing. So I had them take her to the hospital, and I went up to be with the family there. And I said, look, mm-hmm. tell your mother. Her love will stay with you. If she needs to go, it's fine. And they all started mm-hmm. crying. So I walked over to the bed, and I said to the mother, your family is sitting all around the bed. I want you to know they love you, and your love will stay with them. So if you need to go, it's okay. 5 minutes later, she died.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's
again,
amazing how sometimes just giving them permission to go,
right.
that you're okay with them going, will really be helpful.
And we hear... Under anesthesia, I talked to people mm-hmm. in the operating room. They could hear me and respond. Mm-hmm. I mean it. I mean, they couldn't talk, but their body knew what I was saying to them. And so when people are sleeping, obviously if the alarm goes off, you wake up under mm-hmm. anesthesia in a coma. The hearing is there. So if you keep talking to people, they hear you, and you can really help them even in that condition. One of the, it's crazy to say, most beautiful things was the morning. We talk about voices. My father said, I need to get out of here. I said to my mother, he's not talking about the bed. He's talking about his body. So mm-hmm. she said, okay, what day do you want to die? He said, Sunday. I'll die Sunday. Fine, we'll have a big party. Everybody will come. That morning, before I went to the hospital, I heard a voice say, how did your parents meet? I said, I don't know. The voice said, ask your mother when you get to the hospital. So I walk in the room, and again, it pops out of my mouth. Instead of, let me hug you, I'm sorry, you know, my emotions, I felt rude because it popped out of my mouth. How did you two meet? But my mother started telling stories. And the punchline of their first date was, I was on the beach on vacation with girls I didn't know who had a terrible reputation, I learned later. The boys were walking down the beach, and they tossed coins to see who would get the other girls, and your father lost and got me. I mean, I don't know why she kept going out with him, because she talked about other dates, and everyone was a disaster. She even fell out of a boat when he let go of it because the man yelled, you have to pay before you take the boat, and it was just crazy. But what happened because of it? My father died laughing. He looked so healthy and wonderful. I thought he was going to change his mind and say, let's keep this up. I'll die tomorrow. But, and again, he's in a coma, but it's obvious he's hearing us. You can see the reaction in his face. And again, consciousness. He doesn't know who's coming. About 20 people were coming to the party, so to speak. When the last person walked in and we said, oh, hello, Carolyn, he took his last breath and died. Now, you could say, how the hell did he know who was coming? But the consciousness is not limited. It's there for us all to pick up. And he did, and he knew. And I'll tell
you,
he left the children in the room with no fear of death. Because I found that fascinating, how the little kids, you know, grandchildren who were there, so afraid of, he's going to die, what does that, you know, what's going to happen? And then they all looked at me, because I was the doctor, you know, is that what dying is like? Because it seemed so wonderful. They just walked out of the room feeling better than they did when they came in.
So that you know, and that's an example of where, you know, you're getting ready to cross over in love, holds you here, but then it also releases you. So I want to ask, you know, in this dream world, that's an amazing world, fascinating world, where the dreams are actually validated, you know, in the book that you wrote with me, the dreams are validated by pathology reports, and you can't kind of argue with those. But have you ever experienced dreams, for instance, like when my mother, well, for instance, with me, the Franciscan monks, every time I wonder, should I really, really do this? Is this the path I should be on? Suddenly a little tiny feather will appear where there are no pillows. You know, it's just like blew in from nowhere. And I know that that's my sign. Do you ever have that, or do you know of that?
Oh, dear.
Where the signs from the dreams come into the waking world?
Take up several hours of your time now. My wife died a little over a year ago. I haven't stopped receiving messages for basically a year and a half. And she died quietly and peacefully in her sleep. I thought she was still sleeping in the morning when I went
Who's
over.
This?
But the messages, let me just give you some examples. We were married on the 11th.
Oh, this is your, is this you talking about your, oh,
yeah.
Bobby, yes.
So
precious,
what do
Bobby.
I find? A dime and a penny in innumerable places. Oh, and one of the places, just so people understand, this is not a coincidence. I got a message, you know, the voice saying, clean out the bird feeder. The bird bath thing outside, you know, water for birds. And it was filled with leaves and all cloudy water. So I spill it all out. What's at the bottom of that? A dime and a penny. Now, how the hell does that get there? You know, I find them in the woods, on counters, all over. Oh, I told her I needed a new pair of gloves this last winter because I had a hole in the fingers of the other one. I park and go shopping. I come back to my car. There's a pair of gloves lying on the ground right next to the driver's door.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And,
let
me
tell
you this one,
because
this you may really like. I'm lying in bed. I have pets in the house, but nobody's in the bed with me, you know, and the lights are out, and I hear the noise that you would hear when you're blowing out a candle, and then I felt a breeze on my face, and I know my wife is kissing me goodnight. I mean it, because there's no way of explaining the sound and the breeze, and that happened quite a few times, so... One night, even, I heard her making sounds like she was still lying in bed next to me. And I sat up and said, do you need any help? And then I thought, hey, stupid, your wife is dead. But it sounds so like her, you know, needing help to shift her position or move in the bed, that I actually sat up and said, do you need any help? And then it was like, what's going on in your head? But that's how real it all is. And I know, well, let me tell you this, maybe the last story. She was born on 9/9.
Oh, my goodness.
And in October.
Master numbers.
Pardon?
Master numbers.
Are they? Oh, I know they're special and she's special. But anyway, in October, she died in January, I had a heart arrhythmia. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, it's so obvious. My loved one dies. What organ in my body is going to get crazy?
Yeah,
my heart.
Broken heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I go to the hospital. I walk into the emergency room, and I hear them say, put him in room 9. Then they admit me to the hospital, and the room number is 819. Now, 8 is a number of a new beginning. So I knew I'll be okay. My wife is saying, hey, new beginning, you're not going to die, nothing. 819. Then they put the plastic wristband on you, you know, to identify you and your problem and why you're there. All the numbers could be added up to 9s. There was always 1-8, and then you might get an 8-1-7-2-6-3-2-2-2-1. It was incredible. I've saved them and collected them. And I know she's there all the time watching over me. I even tell the people at the hospital because they think I'm nuts when I go back for a checkup or something. I said, watch with the wristband. It'll all add up to 9. And then they look at me like, what is going on here? But I explained to them, it's my wife and she's keeping track of me. And see, I have an open mind. So other people could say, oh, you're crazy, or it was something in the street, or what you heard, or, you know, it's just a coincidence. But I know it's not. It's the, what shall I say, the intelligent, loving energy, and it keeps coming. Yeah.
Right. Love never dies. And I don't believe in death anyhow. I only believe in life after life.
Yeah. I had a near-death experience when I was 4 years old. I don't have a problem with dying. I mean, when I was 4 years old, I was mad that I didn't die. Most kids are, because you have an incredible experience. You're out of your body. You're seeing, you're hearing, you're thinking. And then suddenly you're back into this problem, your body again. And I yelled out, who did that? Because I had said, this is wonderful. I prefer being dead, you know, in my head, floating around the bedroom. And then I don't die. But I have an angel. I know that. So I think it did a Heimlich maneuver because the kid on the bed vomited and all the
pieces
came out.
And that story is in the book.
Yeah.
That's one of the stories that you shared with us. Look, we've got to take another break, so don't go away. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on syndicated DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, Kathleen Cat O'Keefe Cannabis. And we are speaking with Dr. Bernie Siegel about life after life and how dreams can mend a heart.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. With more than 40 years at the forefront of holistic studies, Omega is known the world over as a trusted source for integrated approaches to personal growth and social change. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
If you're living with fear and stress in your life, there is an answer.
If you're ready for a better way, step through The Doorway.
The Doorway is a multimedia online course for transcending fear, transforming relationships, accessing inner guidance, and experiencing more inspiration and trust in your life.
To learn more about these online courses based on the teachings of A Course in Miracles and David Hoffmeister, go to acimcourses.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7.com Radio Network. I'm your host, author, and video podcaster, Kat Canavis. You can see a lot of my shows on my Facebook page, the professional page, Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis, author, speaker, dream expert. And I do have shows with Dr. Bernie Siegel on there as well. You can find them archived on my website at KathleenO'KeefeCanavis.com or The Queen of Dreams. So, Bernie, we were talking about how love never dies,
right,
before the break, and how there is life after life, which we saw with,
yes,
your wife kissing you goodnight and,
yeah,
and you know, hearing her beside you and hearing her voice.
Right.
Tell me something. You know, you ended up in the hospital because you did have a broken heart, which is to be,
right,
expected. It was extremely broken. How did these dreams and your wife coming into these dreams, Bobby, help heal that broken heart for our audience who maybe has a broken heart now?
I knew we were still together and that I would be fine, that there was nothing to fear. I mean, she's with me. Yeah, I miss her body, but
mm-hmm,
she's with me all the time. I mean, I have photographs, you know, on the computer, all around every room in the house, so I'm always,
mm-hmm,
talking to her. But, yeah, I miss her, but I also know... See, this is the difference. Even when I had the near-death experience, you heard me talking. I said, the kid on the bed. I didn't say me. And I realized that after I didn't die, meaning that I would listen to myself tell people what happened. I'd say, the kid on the bed. And then, why didn't you say me? You know, but I realized that body isn't me. So that's why I know we're immortal. I'm putting,
mm-hmm,
together a book now that no endings, no beginnings. It's a cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you from talking to God, the day we all get to be loving human beings, there will no longer be death, because you won't need your bodies anymore to learn lessons. I mean, we're here to learn lessons. As God said, a perfect world is not creation, it's a magic trick. You're here to live and learn. But if we all learn what God is trying to teach us, we'll have our immortality, you know, truly and totally, not just our consciousness. When Bobby died, just so people understand this too, I have a patient who was a mystic, and she's always bringing me messages from people who died. And when Bobby died, I thought, let's see if I hear from her. Because she doesn't know, you know, she's not a neighbor kind of thing. And sure enough, Bobby died on Friday. Sunday morning, my friend Monica calls, said, Bernie, Bobby's fine. A lovely lady who was an opera singer told me everything's all right. She's back with her family. And Bobby's mother was an opera singer. And how would Monica know that? You know, so I know that that we're immortal. And I have had people who are mystics come up to me and say, standing in front of you for your entire lecture was this man, so I drew his picture for you. And that night, I knew I wasn't giving the lecture. I was just, I always say, it was like I was the TV set, you know? I didn't make the program. I'm just showing it. And I was doing the talking. And I had nothing to do with my notes or anything. I just never stopped talking because I realized what I'm saying is really good. And another time, after I spoke at a Christian funeral, Al Gawarl, mystic, came up to me and said, Bernie, are you Jewish? I said, what are you asking for? Because I spoke at a Christian funeral? No, there's a rabbi standing next to you. And that was George. And she saw all his, you know, garments that are related to his religion, and that
and
I
is
remember.
George your spirit guide, one of your spirit guides?
Yeah, he is the guy. He told me that's his name. Because when I was meditating and met him, and I didn't believe in any of this stuff then, but I was following somebody who was doing a meditation for the audience, you know, and I did it. And I'll tell you why I did it, because I was sitting there with my eyes open saying, this is nuts. And then he looks at me, and I thought, oh, my God, he knows I'm not doing it. So I closed my eyes, and then this incredible experience happened, and George shows up. And I turned everything over to him. And, see, even strangers, I was in Stop and Shop acting silly because I love being there, and you know, I know everybody's got trouble, so I get along with everybody. And somebody said, oh, Dr. Siegel, hello. I said, don't call my name out when I'm acting like a four-year-old. She said, all right, George. Now, how did that happen? She picked the name George because I told her, don't call me Siegel in the front of everybody. And that's when the mystical nature of life really gets through to you.
You're right. So for our audience listening, and I know that we're going to have a lot of broken hearts listening to the show tonight, mothers who have lost their children, children who have lost their parents, people who have lost their spouses, what is the one tip you would like to share with them on how to mend their broken heart? Gone through it.
Well, yeah, why I said about Buddy's candle. When my father died, I was grieving. He, you know, he was the first major loss in my life.
The worst. And the first.
I thought, okay, I'm going to remind myself I'm going to die, and that'll make me happy. I mean, that was kind of sick thinking, you know, that if I know I'm going to die, then I won't waste my time. But it didn't work. You know, I said, all right, I'll wear black. That'll remind me. I had so many crazy ideas, and then suddenly, who shows up in my dream? My father, see? He says, Bernie, I'm sending an angel for you because you're not handling this well. We're going to have a parade of fathers who died recently, and you'll come up with the angel. So the angel shows up, and I go up to heaven with him, and I'm sitting watching the parade, and it's gorgeous. They're all in beautiful robes carrying this bright candle. And then I notice, I said to the angel, hey, there's a guy coming with a dark candle. Oh, go light it for him. So I run up to the fellow, and who does it turn out to be? I said, Dad, it's you. I got to light your candle. He said, they do, but your tears keep putting it out. That freed me just from all my craziness, you know, and grief. And so I just try to share that with people. You want to make your lost loved one happy? You know, live what they want you to live. Don't sit around grieving and wearing black all day long, but show them that you love them and their love makes a difference, and you will go on and live for them.
And another thing that you said earlier, Bernie, that caught my attention was how when your wife Bobby died, she was with other family members on the other side. So not at any time was she alone and wandering around in the dark and unhappy.
No, I'm sure not.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard from any mystic that, you know, your family member died and they're lost. They always connect, and that's why this Monica that I mentioned, I mean, she'll use people's names. I mean, I called one family member, I won't go into all the details, to say, I have a message from your husband. It was a doctor friend who had died, and Monica called, said his name, I know who she's talking about. Do you want to hear his message? And I said, you know, I don't want to upset you, but the wife said, no, tell me. And then she lets out a shriek. I said, see, I don't want to upset you. She said, you're not upsetting me. That's what Frank said every time we'd leave one of your meetings. See, now how would Monica know what Frank said?
Mm-hmm.
But the wife shrieks because she knows this is a real communication from her deceased husband. It's his words, again.
And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said real communication, because there was the validation. So many people will say, well, you wanted it to be so much that you are validating it to yourself, even though it may not be true. You need to live in that moment of believing it. But the truth of the matter is, we have validation on the earth plane with signs and symbols and words and phrases and pennies and dimes and on and on and on, that there is no death. There's only life after life.
Right. In front of me, I have a picture now. It's the screensaver on my computer of Bobby with a butterfly on her shoulder. And let me tell you this, because it's just what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. A patient of mine died on one of the Hawaiian Islands. Mm. She had to straighten out her mother's, you know, relationship with herself, and she did and died there. We go there a year and a half later to do an outdoor workshop. We go into a store. There's a butterfly flying around, totally confused by the lights. We're always rescuing animals. Bobby reaches up. The butterfly lands on her hand, and we take it outside. And then it goes on her shoulder. It doesn't leave. And it gets in the car. We drive to the hotel. It goes into the hotel on Bobby's shoulder, up the elevator. By the story is entitled, You Can't Sleep with a Butterfly. Because by the time we're ready for bed, I said to Bobby, you got to get rid of the butterfly. If you go to bed with it, you'll crush it, you know. So she said, okay. She goes out on the porch, brushes it off her shoulder, comes back in and says, okay. I said, look at your other shoulder. It came back in again. Mm-hmm. So I started talking to the butterfly because it had to be the consciousness of my patient. I mean, you can't explain that behavior. So I just said to it, we're going to do a workshop tomorrow. We'll take you there. I'll talk about the symbolism of a butterfly. I'll have you jump in a bag and then open the bag when we get there, and you'll fly out. And everything happened the next morning. I open the bag. Butterfly jumps in. We drive to the workshop. I open the bag. Butterfly comes out. And I talked about, you know, the transformation from the caterpillar, the struggle, you get out, and so forth. And the butterfly flied over our heads from 9 in the morning till 5 at night. And when we finished the workshop, it left. Now, let me tell you.
Well, your wife was such a special.
Well, let me add something because of my wife. The other day, about 4 days ago, I hear knock, 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 knock. You know, a sound in the house. I don't know what it is. I walk out of the bedroom area to the stairway, and the same butterfly that Bobby had rescued in Hawaii was in the house, banging on the window to draw my attention.
Oh, my goodness.
I reach over. It doesn't fly away. I take it in my hand, and I go outside and let it go. But tell me how a butterfly got into my house. I mean, I don't have windows open, everything else. I have, you know, the flap doors for the pets to go. But there's no way I can explain that. Yeah, you could say, well, maybe a caterpillar got into your house, you know.
And then hatched.
Yeah. But with all the pets.
But even that, it's still there. The sign and the symbol is still there. So we've come to the end of our show, Bernie. It just happened so fast, quickly. Give us your website. Tell people how they can find you, because we're coming right up to the last minute.
All right. It's Bernie Siegel, M.D., S-I-E-G-E-L, BernieSiegelMD.com. And, I don't know if I put that story there about you can't sleep with a butterfly, but there are a lot of other stories that I've written that I'm sure from deceiving people into health. You know, again, how our mind works and what people believe is amazing, and what it does to your body. So there are many people who don't receive treatment and act as if they are, so the doctors don't know it, because it's like hypnotic. You know, again, it's the power of our mind.
Well, we got to go, Bernie. We're coming up to the last seconds. We've got to go. So I just want to say a big thank you to our guest tonight, Dr. Bernie Siegel.
We can
do this again.
Okay.
And our producer, Bob. And please join me again on the first and third Tuesday of every month for more exciting dreams, interpretations, and guests. Until next time, remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone, and sweet dreams.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe. Relax and enjoy. Let life flow.